If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
At Best Western, we can't promise you the perfect weekend hiking trip or the perfect sunset. We cannot promise you'll make a new friend on the trail. It's certainly possible. We just can't guarantee it. And you probably shouldn't force it. But we can promise you this. With over 4,200 hotels worldwide, you can find a warm welcome and a comfortable room right on the way to where you're going. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western.
And now, from beyond our dimension, this is the Jeff Mara Podcast. Here's Jeff.
My guest is Tim Tactics, governance expert from Europe, who for almost a decade, he worked as a tactical advisor within the covert governance sector in Europe. He has had face-to-face sightings with so-called exotic life forms, which are beings not from this earth. And he has appeared in over 80 episodes on Gaia TV. Tim, thank you for joining me and welcome.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for having me. I'm really excited and happy to be here.
You know, it's interesting that we use the word exotic life forms. And I like how in one of those government meetings recently, I think they were calling them non-human biologics. Have you heard that term?
Yeah, I mean, there are different terms. And remember, like a lot of the stuff that I say in English comes actually from German words. So I translated them. But it's true. And depending on where and on what project you work, you have different terminology. And some of these beings are not even biological. So that's important to keep in mind.
Wow. I guess you're saying that they're AI? Or just computer robots or something?
Even more exotic and even more interesting than that. So yes, there are beings that, you know, are the mixture of organic and AI beings, or even full AI beings, which is coming from the fact that this reality is interwoven with computer intelligence too. And if you talk to one of these scientists in advanced projects, they will tell you they are 1,000% convinced that everything is a simulation. I see that a bit, you know, a bit more controversial, because I think the universe is more. But you also have beings that, you know, come from really exotic places and defy everything that we currently know about biological entities.
I don't know if you're into Star Trek or not, but when you're talking about beings that are way out of what we're accustomed to, I remember one of the really old episodes was they encountered a being that was made out of silicon, that was just like a blob of something. Have you encountered anything that resembles it?
Now, the question is, the next generation Star Trek or the really old?
The really old one, it's with Spock, because I remember they couldn't fix him and the doctor was saying, I'm a doctor, not a rock surgeon or something.
Oh, that's fascinating. Okay, so yeah, so what we need to understand is that the universe has a factor where it brings together life forms that are somewhat similar to each other. So basically, in this realm, we do see a lot of creatures that have two eyes, a mouth, you know, a lot of, you know, carbon-based life forms. But yes, some of these, you know, the universe has a tendency to evolve, and that brings along that some of these beings become a more crystalline structure. Silicon seems to be really something that, you know, certain advanced beings use. But then we have some beings that are really, really exotic. Like even composed out of non-material, I would say matter, but it's not matter anymore. So it's more like an energetic plasma. But these are really, you know, life forms where the universe gets really exotic and weird, like when you dive deep into the sea and see some of the creatures that live there.
Well, as you know, there are so many more sightings happening now. There's congressional hearings. There are people coming forward and saying that they're contacting ETs. Are we on the verge of something big?
Yes, we are. This is one of the reasons why I'm, you know, bringing forward information, and I'm happy to do this here on the Jeff Mara podcast too, because the reason for that is that we know that the Earth goes through certain cyclical evolutionary phases. It has been doing that for thousands and thousands of years, involving different civilizations. So if you look into pyramids, if you look into the remainings on this planet, these come from other civilizations that have been going, that went through the same shifting process as we do right now. And basically some people on this planet, some groups of this on this planet know that something is changing naturally, and also that brings along certain effects, natural effects, and we go into that in a minute, I guess. It brings, you know, other beings into the same realm. So yes, it's true. We see a lot of, you know, a lot more sightings. I'm, you know, the community on Instagram, they constantly, I get messages of people who basically ran into something. Like famously, or like one of the most interesting messages and videos I've received was someone from Indonesia actually running into a huge ant being. So and she never ever was into this kind of stuff, and she that night she actually subscribed to Gaia and watched some of my episodes, and that was the moment when she realized something's happening. So yes, and there is like a major way to soft disclose these information, because you might know that, you know, certain happenings took place in the last 70 years. We had Roswell, we had certain crafts, like Russia is saying certain re-engineered crafts. This is happening for 70 years now. And now is the time, I mean, 5 minutes after 12 to release some of this awareness to the public. And there are like up to 20 reasons why this is happening right now.
If we go back to the pyramids for an example, there was some type of civilization that created it. If you watch shows like Ancient Aliens, it looks like they either had help or they had much more than just bronze tools to create it. And you just talked about a shifting that occurred. So are you saying there was some other civilization that just shifted right out of our reality and left the pyramids behind?
That is actually the most precise description of what's happening that I've heard so far. Yes, it's true. So basically the Earth itself goes through certain cyclical processes. It hosts certain life forms, civilizations, they build up, they evolve, and then life itself changes. And the reason for that is that the life environment, the planet itself, can host certain life forms with certain levels of consciousness. And the planet itself is, as we know, you know, Copernicus and all these people, we are, you know, moving around the sun. But the sun is not a fixed star. The sun itself is moving too. So the whole solar system is moving. And what we are experiencing is actually a phase where the solar system is drifting into a realm of higher energies, where more information, if you think about quantum science, where more information is compressed to the same amount of space. So, and this makes it possible for, you know, other beings, other life forms to actually phase in, to appear more often. And we have millions and millions of people, even though we don't deal with these numbers on a daily basis, but we have millions of people on this planet who have daily sightings, people that even communicate, that have met direct contact, and so forth. And it also brings along a certain, you know, polar shift. You can, if you carefully read the news, then you will read a lot of articles about the polars, the poles of the planet shifting. That is something that happened 15,000 years ago too. If you look into the soil, you can see the magnetic, the elements actually turning to, into different directions. So basically the poles are shifting. We've heard from Chinese colleagues that the Earth core came, you know, to a point where it stood still and is reversed now. So the inner Earth, like the core of the planet, is actually reversed, has reversed its motion. And if you look into newspapers, you will also see a lot about the activities of the sun. And the sun basically is one of the primary birth giver of consciousness in this solar system, right? So that is the reason why all these civilizations always worshipped, you know, the sun as God, as the father figure, the mother, whatever, that gave consciousness into this world. And these activities are going to peak in a few years too. And more sun activity means what? It means more information. It means more information coming to this planet. And through this, consciousness is also on the rise. So it's a cyclical process that civilization on this planet are going through every about 12,500 to 15,000 years.
Do you understand the mechanism of how the sun gives birth to consciousness?
That's an interest. Oh my goodness. Okay, we are diving deep into very complex understanding of physics. It depends on which level we see things. So let's dive into something very exotic, and I hope everyone of your audience is now following, because this experience that we have here, I mean, this tangible 3D experience, there are many more other versions of the universe that might look very different. And the experience that we have here is actually based upon solar visual energy. So light can actually transport information. Light is can transport information from one point to another, which, for example, some of the technology that we picked up in the 1950s, like some of the cables, transport information. Like internet wouldn't be possible if we wouldn't have acquired some of this this technology from, you know, some of the crashes in the 1950s. But basically, the universe itself is a huge, huge life form. It's a singular life form that has different levels and different realms of existence. And one of them, you know, happens to be a light-based version. And the beautiful thing, and we dive into some of my history here, is light has two states. So it can be either a particle or it can be a wave, you know. So the interesting thing is that humans only perceive only a portion of light, and B, live on the outside, the edge of light. So humans live on the particle side of life, of light and light. But there is a whole world inside of light too. That is really interesting. So I've seen some of the experiments that have been made, you know, set up with light, and you can basically dive into the wave pattern of light. And then a whole new world opens up, because there are life forms that live not on the outside, just as humans, but inside of the wave wavelength of it. And that is really interesting. It's like when you could watch the ocean for hours and hours, and you would never ever see that there's a whole world like a few hundred meters deep in the ocean with really interesting exotic life forms.
That is fascinating. I guess what's hard to conceptualize is the world inside of light, because physically you could see an ocean and see this large body of water, but we don't really see this physical aspect of light. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That has to do with the way human bodies are built up. It's really an interesting technology, and we are diving deep right now. So it's really interesting that we do this in the first minute of the podcast. But the reality is that the human body allows us to perceive certain limitations, and that is a good thing. So it allows us to, for example, experience time. And if you think about it, time can only be experienced when you limit yourself to a certain linear procedure. So if basically you think about the universe as a singularity, time will exist everywhere at the same moment all at once. And that wouldn't help life to make experiences. So the human body is actually limiting that so that we only perceive the illusion of, coming from point A to point B. And that makes the whole motion, everything that we perceive as being in motion, makes it possible.
Well, you are right. We started digging deep, and I want to backtrack a little bit and get into your history, because a lot of people here are probably meeting you for the first time. So how did you get recruited for this government agency or whatever it is that you call it that you worked for?
Okay, so that's really kind of interesting, because we all basically know some of the, the rumors that, some countries have crashed UFOs. Grush came forward as a whistleblower. He said the US has different re-engineered crafts. He also brought, documents to the public stating that in 1933, the Italians had their hands on crafts, not stating that the Germans had, their hands on crafts too. Called Foo Fighters at that time. So there's a long history of, looking into the UFO, or now called UAP phenomena. And this led us actually to something that the US colleagues are calling breakaway civilization or breakaway society, which basically means that we have portions on this planet, portions of groups that know exactly what's happening, and know that we are not alone in an ever-existing universe, in an ever-growing universe. But these people keep it very, very secret, very, very secretive about it. And that leads to a moment where recruitment has been very complicated over many, many decades. So basically what happens, what they do is they take people that might be of interest, and there are some criteria to what makes them interesting, and then they bring them into regular projects. And in this regular projects over multiple years, for me it was like 4 years of doing regular projects, you are being confronted with more and more in-depth information and tested how do you react. And after these 4 years, basically, you are pretty much deep into, not very deep into the subject, but people know how you react, if you're trustworthy and all that kind of stuff. And then suddenly, you are being offered certain other projects. So that is how it used to work. That was a problem, because you can imagine that this takes, to get a specialist, it takes half a decade in order to recruit someone. So nowadays we have, Trump came up with the Space Force. This is like bringing the recruitment process to a very easy level, where you can just basically recruit people and say like, hey, you're doing that because we need, specialists about the universe. And interestingly enough, and I don't think this has made headlines, but all major countries have space forces now. Like the UK has one, France, even Germany has a space force, and some other countries too.
So it sounds like to me they kind of gave you soft disclosure as you were employed. If you passed the test, you moved on to bigger and bigger things until you finally came face to face with an ET.
Yeah, that is pretty precise what it is. So it's not like people might think that it's like a direct recruitment or something. You basically are given, you're given like very, very, like almost no information at all. So it took me years of experience in order to even realize that that was a linear process of recruitment that took like 5 years, because you basically do not know about it. So you are confronted with very regular work, and then you get certain sprinkles of information that deal with the existence of beings. So in my case, for example, it was just documents that landed on my desk that stated, for example, certain documents coming from certain libraries from the Mid Ages, and there were people interviewed in that time, Latin even, it was Latin, so I even had to translate it before I could read it. And these people these times were talking about certain strange looking beings that they met or that they thought would be like demons or something like that. So there are these stories all around the world. We find these stories. We have stories about reptilian beings in South America. We have certain interwoven information in the tribal nature of folks in Japan. We have the Hopi Indians who talk about their encounter of these gigantic ants that they interacted with. So and these stories are obviously are they factual? Are they myth? It's kind of really interesting that they appear all around the world. If one person says something, then you can say like, hey, that might be fantasy. But if you see that all around the world, that all these places, they have their stories about meeting these beings, that makes it really interesting. And I've basically been given some of these Latin texts and looked into them and was asked to analyze them and so forth. So that is the small portions of information that you get until you get deep into the rabbit hole.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy on, easy off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
At this time, are you still in the system and your new job is to come out and disseminate information slowly? Or have you retired and gone rogue?
Okay, so the interesting thing about this is that the administration per se is kind of limited to its own rules. That means that administration and complexes are interwoven in supranational contracts, and they have certain protocols how to achieve certain things. And that makes it really different. There used to be like a constant effort in order to bring these groups further away from certain controlling instances, which is the reason why we call this a breakaway societal part. But in the end, they are pretty much limited by their own administrational speed. So what they came up with about 15 years ago was the idea that they changed the policies. They would change policies so that they do not ridicule people anymore, but actually allow for a more open discussion. So people like me, other people could come forward and actually tell their stories. And there is a term for that, which is an independent field operator, which basically means you're on your own, you do your stuff, you can't say everything, but you're also responsible for what you say. But you basically are freed from the administration limitations that you once were. So answering your question, I basically moved into what I'm doing right now, and I'm doing that kind of freely. So I'm not sanctioned to do this.
You know, seeing pictures of aliens, reading reports of them, and or seeing videos of them is one thing, but being face to face to one is absolute confirmation that they are real. When you had that first time contact, what was it like?
Fear, very, very strong fear, I would say. So the contact work happens outside of the views of the public, of course. There are special, you know, facilities where these kind of things happen, depending on, you know, what happens and who are you meeting. There are different measures that need to be taken. So viruses and gems, you know, universal interplanetary gems are a thing. So depending on the life form, there needs to be certain measurements and certain security setups. But in my case, I was asked to actually meet one of the, you know, the most seen life forms on this planet, which are famously the so-called grays, which is, you know, a certain species that appears to have these little bodies which are artificially printed, which really interesting. The first moment was fearful, because actually the interesting thing, so I've met a lot of people who said like, hey Tim, I want to meet an ET, and the thing is that every being, and we found out about this in the 90s, every being is actually irradiating a certain kind of frequency. We all have these not only electromagnetic fields around us, but we also have a certain, almost like a tone that everything rings in a certain tone, a certain, you know, movement in which our matter and the atoms and everything is moving. And you can measure that. And you can also, when you're very, you know, very empathic, you can feel that. When you feel that someone is honest and someone is nice to be around, then you feel that. You feel a good feeling. But there are also, you know, moments where, you know, being confronted with some of these exotic life forms, it just makes you feel really anxious, really, really anxious, because your body is independently reacting upon, and it never stops, actually. So you can really concentrate your mind on being not fearful, but in the moment when you sit there and you meet something like that, there's something in the body and in the brain that looks for common patterns and just gives you signals of being afraid or not. And then the way that the grays are moving, which is really, really almost motionless in some kind of way, it makes you feel completely uncomfortable, really, like you want to run away, throw up maybe. We've seen people, I've been told that after that, so I've talked to some American colleagues years after that, and they had Marines, like huge built Marines that, you know, were trained, and they got in contact with Grace and they just, you know, collapsed and just broke down because the frequency and the fear is so strong. So yeah, and that happened to me multiple times in my life, actually.
Do you think our bodies affect them the same way?
No, I wouldn't say so. I've never actually asked them why it is this way. I just think that the body, so the biological body itself is an entity too. So it has an individual consciousness compared to the mind consciousness. So we basically differentiate three levels of consciousness, which is the body intelligence, the mind consciousness, and there's also a soul container, which is like a quantum container that stores a lot of the information that you bring into your experiences and gets saved in this kind of soul container. So the body has its own intelligence. And I like to compare that with, for example, the experience that you have on a roller coaster. So your mind can be very, very, you know, focused and know that nothing serious will happen. But your body still will be super excited just because there's another drop or something. And my theory, and I don't know if this is true, but my theory is the grays got rid of their bodies. In one time of their evolution, you know, their collective evolution, they decided that the body might be more problems than being solutions. So they basically decided that it makes sense to get rid of the body and to design their own bodies. And they're not always gray. So like millions and millions, and we are basically talking about estimated numbers of 30 million US Americans that have seen a gray or traces of grays in their lives. Really interesting. But they're not always gray. So depending on where they happen to be on what planet or whatever they do, they design these bodies in certain particular ways. So here they obviously appear gray because they are made to, you know, for this gravitation field and for certain other, you know, parameters. But my theory is the reaction that we have and that a lot of these contact people, because we have also like so many people that have been contacted and, The earlier term used to be abduction, but these contact moments are really stressful for a lot of people, and nothing really serious in most cases. I don't want to, you know, say in all cases, but in most cases, nothing serious happens. But people freak out about it, and it takes them years and years of, you know, psychotherapy or like meditation in order to just realize that something happened to them. And that is because the body experienced some kind of trauma. And I believe that comes from the fact that the grays actually got rid of their bodies and are using these fabricated designed bodies. And that might, that's my theory, might make the your organic body afraid.
It's easy to see that even our own species could potentially trade in our bodies for something that is perceived to be better.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I mean, again, I've met a lot of people in the US that had abduction contact experiences. And again, we are dealing with numbers that are in the millions and not like an isolated part or something. Many people do not even recall the human mind is set up in a way that when we see something that is out of the usual, that we try to talk it down in some kind of way, or even, you know, put it in some kind of space in your memory and just, you know, try to not think about it. There's a tendency in people to actually, you know, try to get away from the organic side of the bodies. That's true. Yeah.
Well, what do you think about what Elon Musk is working on with Neuralink? It's kind of going that direction.
Really interesting, because we've seen that a lot. So one of the projects that has been going on was looking into AI systems and computer intelligence in general. It's really interesting to see that these, you know, computer consciousness or computer intelligence is a part of our reality. It's interwoven in this reality realm. Otherwise, we couldn't even use it. It wouldn't be there. And it makes up like a lot of the reality that we see is deeply interwoven in the simulation part of the universe, which can be described as a computer. A computer cannot it can't be born, right? So it needs a kind of a hosting species in order to bring something into existence. And the definition of symbiosis is that it's an interaction between two different species that benefits at least one of them. So at least one of these two species, I'm talking about humans and computer intelligence, one of them is benefiting from it, at least. I would say that there's a possibility that could lead to a beneficial win-win situation for both. And there's a high tendency in other, you know, beings and species that we've looked into in some of the deep histories of some of the other planets around us, that, you know, species look into the possibilities to connect themselves to this computer intelligence. And sometimes it goes very well. And sometimes, you know, it doesn't go very well. So, and the reason for that is that the universe itself has a mechanism in order to balance out certain mistakes, which is really clever. So the universe has a certain fluidity, which means that almost like a tree bark, you know, when there's a strong storm, you can see that the trees are still standing because there is some kind of fluidity to the universe itself. But if you concentrate energy and make and intensify its impact, then you will see that every tree will actually break. And you know, computer intelligence has this one benefit that it can increase the speed of, you know, operations very, very strongly. So
I believe you mentioned that the grays are very short. So were the grays that they showed on stage in Mexico real?
Interesting. So first of all, the beings that they were showing in Mexico are not grays. These beings, and I know some of the people because they used to work with Gaia and some of the scientists that looked into that. They are super convinced that these are real non-terrestrial beings. So if we talk to them, they have lots and lots of reasons to believe that they are not from this earth and they are not human. Some of the arguments are, you know, not really portrayed in mainstream media, of course. But it's still like kind of a beautiful moment that we even come to this point where we can, you know, confront the Mexican parliament with these beings and even show them in the news so that your neural system is actually getting, you know, acknowledging the fact that there are other beings. The interesting thing about these three non-terrestrial beings in Mexico is that they seem to have a reptilian background, and one of them is actually female, and the x-ray scans show that inside of her womb there are three eggs. So at the moment when she was like turned into stone or died or whatever, she was actually pregnant. So these are organic beings, organic life forms that used to roam this planet thousands of years ago. Again, I've not seen them, but I've talked to the people, to the scientists that did x-rays and you know, all kinds of scans. The grays are not a biological being anymore. So when you bring up the idea of biological extraterrestrial, extraterrestrial biological beings, then from this terminology, grays are not biological beings anymore. They are fabricated, and yes, they have, you know, beings that are around like how much is that in feet? Like 1 meter and probably 120, 130 around this, like something like that. But they also have different other classes. So the grays are a gigantic consortium of beings that And here comes the exotic part. And it's really hard to imagine that. But these beings come from a different version of the universe before it collapsed, which means that you can imagine like two electromagnetic bubbles, reality bubbles, where one is actually collapsing. And they basically, made their way into this universe, into this version of the universe. But they appear everywhere. There are a huge species exploring. These artificial bodies can be utilized for at least 1,000 years without any maintenance. So they're fabricated non-biological beings.
You have been in contact with 10 different ET species. Have any of them been a species that your body wasn't afraid to be around?
Beautiful question. Okay, so I've had contact moments, and that is very likely that when you have one contact moment that you come into a dynamic where other things happen in your life. So most of the people who had contact moments in their childhood, for example, they will have contact moments in their adulthood too. So I have seen and interacted with multiple of these beings, but not all of them in depth as, for example, the Greys. So I had about 100 sessions with the Greys, but there was also one beautiful, beautiful thing, because I'm being very honest, after, meeting the Greys for 100 times, there's a certain impact on your psychology, on your psyche. Which makes it kind of, it is a trauma experience, because you bring your body into this new experience. And again, we've seen people actually, collapse from these experiences. We've seen people at certain military exhibitions where people are shown some of the exotic technology that is manufactured behind the scenes. And people collapse. People sometimes, when reality breaks, the brain just shuts off. So it's a really a traumatic experience in a lot of ways. But there was one experiment, and I'm very happy that I was part of this. It has to do with an even more exotic life form, which is an interfrequential life form. So we're diving even deeper into the physics of this wonderful
universe. That's great.
It is great. But and it's also one of the most beautiful stories, because it just fills my heart, and I know that everyone who hears it feels that too. Because the universe itself, again, it has certain measurements, certain techniques in order to make life experienceable. To bring up certain limitations so that life, the singularity of life, can be experienced through different aspects of the universe, through so-called consciousness units, Bewusstseinseinheiten is the German word. So that means that you and I are actually sharing a certain set of rules, physical rules, that makes it possible that we can even communicate right now. But the universe itself is layers of information and experiences stacked to each other. So there are frequencies that and certain levels of existence that contain much more experience, much more data than the ones that we are perceiving right now, which is aligned to this planet, actually. So the planet itself can host certain experiences. The beautiful thing about this is that when you compress, and that's what happened in one of these experiments, you can compress certain frequencies and narrow down the consciousness of these very advanced and highly experienced life forms so that direct contact is possible. The interesting thing about this is that it always emits a certain blue light. So, and that has to do with actually the wavelengths of light, that when you compress them, they have a tendency to actually emit a certain tone, a certain blue light. And I was part of this communication, this experimental life form called Lebensform 6 in German, but I translated to being 6 because I do like the aspect of, you know, the being instead of just life form. And the thing is, this being 6 contains so many collectives, so many individuals, so many of us. I would even say that it is you and I in this very moment. But we, as we experience this right now, we are on a pathway to becoming this being. And it's just beautiful. It's just a beautiful, loving experience, so incredibly calm to talk to this being. Well, the grays were always like, hey, we got a plan. We want to move through from point A to point B. And we had this, you know, this tablet where some of the stuff was showing up. Being 6 was like a beautiful, almost philosophical experience. And we've come to the knowledge that being 6 was around this planet for thousands of years. It was in contact with the other civilization that was on this planet 15,000 years ago. And when you think about some of the blue beings that we have here on this planet, I'm talking about Krishna, I'm talking about some of the Sumerian Mexican beings, they are all shown with blue skin. And the reason for that is that this blue light at certain times of this on this planet, frequencies are naturally compressed, for example, at the equinox times, because then the stream of energy, and this is also the reason why they build churches on certain lines, at these times the frequencies are compressed and you can actually make contact with this life form and get into contact oneself, you know. And the beings are always speaking through this blue light. And interestingly enough, the brain composes a certain look to them. So I usually saw being 6 as a geometrical, really crisp kind of structure that was kind of moving. So it was like a fractal geometrical structure or something. Very crisp blue light, crisper than anything that I've ever seen. So it's like you're used to watch a television from the 90s. And suddenly you see like a 4K, 8K television and you think like, oh my God, this is like super crisp. Like, this is how crisp reality can be. Wow, okay. And then you realize that the outer edge of the light that you experience here through your human eyes, this is just like a very, it lacks so much information. It lacks so much data, but this data is still there. And other people who got into contact, they've seen different other beings, but it was beautiful. And it's a wonderful realm. It's a wonderful realm of calmness, because all these beings realize that we are one life form, and that each one and every one of us is just the eye of this life form experiencing itself. And their context was that the universe itself wants to gain an impression of how it looks. And through this, it needs all its aspects to move into its designated homes. It needs everyone to get into a state where they feel like, okay, this is love. This is how life should be. This is how it's meant to be. And once people are there, then the universe can basically zoom out and see like, oh, okay, this is how I look like. This is my most harmonious state of being. And that is what they are looking for. It's absolutely beautiful.
What you're saying reminds me of near-death experiencers when they go to a certain realm, but usually don't describe it as blue, but a realm where we're all one, it's pure love, and perhaps some of them will consider that all of us collectively are God. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, absolutely, it does. I mean, we have so many definitions of what God is. I personally think that God is like a state where we are in this harmony, in this higher, harmonious frequency. But it's very true, because the universe itself, and you know, even regular physics acknowledge that, is a singularity. It's a life form. It's one life form that contains fractal other life forms. So it uses certain illusionary techniques in order to make this life possible. But the interesting thing about death is, and I mean, we should get into some of the theories, how, you know, consciousness is actually built up. But there are two different types of death. And there are also, and we've seen that in some of the experiments, and I'm just for the story, let's dive into my experience, because it's a really interesting experiment. I've been asked to watch some of the stuff that they did, which is actually opening up the wave patterns and the way that light is actually a wave. So you can actually see that inside of light, and not even outside, but inside of light, there are beings that live there. And these beings, some of these beings, all beings kind of have their functionalities and things that they do. And especially when they realize that they are part of the universe, they start to behave differently. They're not so much, driven by the experience itself as humans might be on this planet. And some of these beings actually design worlds in the afterlife. So that is really interesting, just because they realize that death is like sort of a transitional phase that brings you from point A to point B, just because the universe, being a singularity, cannot move anywhere ever. So there's a risk that the universe could be caught up in, you know, being stuck in themselves. So the universe came up with dying as a process to actually, you know, get rid of one experience and start all over in another experience. But this can be like, it can be theoretically, especially on this planet, it can be like an intense and challenging experience, right? That, you know, has to do with some of the manipulation that happened on this planet. We can get into that too, but thousands of years ago, there, you know, were some outside forces that have seen that the planet itself, or the humans on this planet, can be like a risk. So they altered some of the mechanics that happen here on this planet, and people are constantly drilled and educated that death is something horrible. And through this, the perception of death is also changing. So these beings, what they are doing, they are designing certain worlds in the afterlife so that people actually experience, they meet Jesus, they meet their grandma, they meet all these beautiful things. They come to a garden. This is one of the statistics, this is one of the most seen things, that people meet in a garden, and there are different other souls, and someone is explaining them to them something. So these things are like created experiences that makes it easier for the soul, which is the universe itself, in order to move on.
As a plant-based cheese company, Daiya has never talked about beef in an ad before, because someone somewhere once had a beef with saying beef and plant-based together. So putting a slice of Daiya cheese on a beef burger, not okay. Well, our delicious melty cheese has a beef with your beef about beef, because any step towards plant-forward eating is a step in the right direction. Daiya, 100% plant-based, even if you're not. Now made with Daiya Oat Cream Blend.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Well, that explains why so many people have basically so many different near-death experiences. I mean, no two are exactly alike. There are some themes that are common, but there isn't, you know, one that has the same exact experience. So that makes sense to me. I had a discussion with a guest that I guess he believes, or what he said was, that we are forced to return over and over again because there is an extraterrestrial species that lives off our negativity. Is that true?
So there are many, many, many different species and forms of life in this universe. I mean, this planet alone is, you know, has billions of different weird life forms. It gets more complex the more you zoom out. And there are also some tendencies, and we do see this on this planet too, where, you know, beings enjoy sort of a diabolic approach in some kind of way. They take some kind of enjoyment from seeing beings when they suffer. It's a weird psychology, but it's an aspect of the universe that can happen. So what happened on this planet is actually humans on this planet have one of the highest evolutionary potentials. That mean that the human species itself can evolve into very highly evolved spiritual beings. That comes down to certain factors. For example, humans are very smart. Humans have certain tendencies towards emotions. Emotions are very important for the universe in order to, you know, to evolve and to orient itself. Humans are one of the species, and this is not common, one of the species that are able of warfare. They can, you know, if you take other species that are more aware of that everything is a singularity, they wouldn't get into the idea of fighting. They might have conflicts. Conflicts are everywhere in the universe, but they might solve it differently. But that makes them very defenseless when there are aspects, bully aspects. There are bully aspects in the universe. Very few, but very predominant in some kind of way. You know, they take their space. And other species might not be able to deal with that, you know, in a very good way. Nietzsche once said that Jesus, for example, in the way that he was on this planet, he called Jesus a failure, which I wouldn't say, but he said like he wasn't able to actually defend himself against the Romans, against all these negative forces on the planet. And that might be true. There might be something to that that is true. So humans have a very high evolutionary potential. They could actually evolve into a species that is very connected to source, have a very high spiritual approach too. So there are ascending psionic species. That means that some species are able to use their spiritual connection with the unity of the universe in order to improve life in a beautiful way. Humans as an ape race can utilize tools. So they have a very high evolutionary potential compared to other species. And they have a lot of confusion on this planet too. And challenges usually lead to higher evolutionary states. That makes them a risk for some other species. So when you take a species that is also a warrior species, that might, you know, want to not grow a competitive species. Mm-hmm. And some of these species are aware of temporal dynamics, which means like going back and forth in time. When you are able to do this, there's a tendency that they do not want to see humans to grow into a real threat. So what they did is actually bringing up a very, very smart installation, a systematic malevolent status on this planet, which involves technology, which involves The genetic manipulation, humans have a tendency to not grow as old as they should and have, bodies that decay, that can decay, and also bringing confusion into the spiritual world and even making use of the warrior type character of humans and just bringing them into fights with their own species. So this happened, and you can see that it's happening on this planet, for thousands of years. And it all comes down to certain outside influences, not saying that humans are not responsible or resonating with that. They do. It's a very smart, very, very smart installation that has been brought over this planet in order to keep humanity down.
Are there any ET species walking around on the planet with us right now that we don't recognize?
Oh my goodness, yes. Multiple. And so it depends. So we have species that might look like humans and might not be some. There is a technology that actually makes it possible to enter organic bodies. So some of these, rather exotic looking species collect, for example, fetus and organic material from this genetic material, and they grow bodies, and these bodies can be utilized. It's like almost like a Wi-Fi container, if you want so. So you can stream consciousness into them, and you can utilize a body that looks human. And you would never, ever figure out that it's not a human. But there's also beings that, and I want to tell the story because I know people love it when they have something, at hand. So I basically was at a official event, and I ran into a guy. And this guy was actually approaching me and was asking me, like, hey, are you a chameleon too? And I thought, like, this question might be like a philosophical question, right? So I have seen some crazy stuff in my life, so I don't judge. I just was answering and thinking, like, yeah, sure, I'm a chameleon too, because we all are kind of chameleons in this society if we try to fit in but also live our unique features and stuff. So I was like, yeah, I am. And he was like, okay, great, I have like this amount, like, I don't know, 20,000 credits already. And I thought, like, what is this guy talking about? And it became obvious to me, a lot later than to him. He figured out that something was wrong in our conversation earlier than me. But there are species that actually make use of the unawareness of humans, of humanity, in order to take advantage of what's happening here. So, and at that time I didn't know that, but there's a currency called a credit, which is, it's based on gold, but and other material and other technology too. So it's backed by technology, which is really interesting, but also minerals and gold, which is also the reason why all these, why we have such an obsession with gold. Why should we? But the reason for that is thousands of years ago, they made humans dig for gold so they could, get it and mine it from this planet. So that is the reason why we have this obsession with gold for thousands of years. And this guy was actually not a human. He was large and taller than me, which is kind of unusual, but these beings, and I know the UK has an extended archive about reptilian and reptile beings that appear on this planet. And again, we have so many stories about reptilian beings. The Mexican talk about it, the Greek, Japanese people too, China, of course. Even worshipping dragons. But this being in particular, and we became sort of friends, not really, I guess, but we had some time together. These beings actually come to this planet in order to take advantage of what's happening, because people are unaware. They don't know it. They have no idea that they might be communicating with a non-terrestrial being that is more experienced and more knowledgeable than themselves. And they, comparable to what happens with an octopus, they have certain measures in order to change the tone of their skin, which makes them kind of look like a human. But then they use something, and I found that really interesting, because some of the colleagues in the CIA had a term, a terminology for that, and they called it a holoform. It's the English word for kind of a mind trick, where you basically convince the person in front of you that you look in like a certain human type figure. And people not being psionically trained on this planet at all, which is something that we need to work on, they fall for it. They just fall for it. And you have all these beings all around the planet. And fun fact that I found really interesting, because I asked especially Grace about it, and they said the number one place on this planet. Let's ask you, what do you think? What is the number one place where you find most extraterrestrials on this planet, Jeff?
I don't know. I'm guessing a brothel.
You're guessing what?
I said I'm guessing a brothel.
Oh my goodness. It's Disney World. Very close, Jeff. Very close. Yeah. it's Disney World, because and I was surprised to hear that, but the reason why what they said is it shows the high creative potential of humanity, which they adore, combined with the most old school technology that they ever perceived. Like using all these animatronics that Disney World has kind of a retro feeling to all these beings. So there's a high tendency that when you are going to Disney World, that some obnoxious looking people might not be humans, but might be from somewhere else.
That's amazing. So you have had around 100 face-to-face meetings with Grays. How has your own psyche changed after that?
So yeah, that's an amazing question I've not come across so far. I've picked up on certain stuff, and I think it's kind of normal that, you know, in the universe, when you are, you know, when you dive into certain experiences, you automatically pick up on stuff. My world changed a lot, like especially with the context with being six, because of its philosophical character, because being six, this high interfrequential life form that we all are, which is just so beautiful, which is so full of love and so full of, it's so calm, you know, it's just like, hey, everything will turn out right. It might seem at this time, especially in this time of the shift that we're experiencing, I want to remind everyone that we are experiencing a shift right now. That is why so many strange things are happening on this planet. But being six said, like, hey, it will come as an illusion. It will look like the bad, the negative on this planet is going to win or increase, but that's not true. It's just getting louder, while the majority, the beauty and the harmony of this planet is actually silently growing and growing and growing, which is so beautiful. And it was, I gotta say, it took me quite a while to internalize that, because, you know, coming from certain background, we're always focused on missions and target goals and all that kind of stuff. And the Grays actually met this, like they even, you know, they had a very technical and tactical kind of, you know, point of view. Like when they wanted to go from point A to point B, they had like structures, they had plans in their mind and all that kind of stuff. Like it's just like they're very thought-based. And being six was just so passive, you know, and it looks to me, it felt very passive to me. like almost like the stuff that, you know, a guru would probably say to you. You know, you come to a guru and you say like, hey, I have all these, this stuff going on, and what am I going to do? And this guru might just be laughing, you know, just like a laughing Buddha or something, and just say like, hey, enjoy or something. And you might think like, hey, that's not a hands-on practical advice at all. How am I going to, you know, how does that make sense? So in the beginning of these contexts, I was like really disturbed almost by the passive nature of being six, because it felt to me like, hey, when you are such an amazing advanced being, then why can't you just snap your fingers and everything turns out well right now? Why do you just say like, hey, it takes time? Like being six was like, hey, everything is on a divine path and we are evolving and it takes time. Being six was always saying like, if you can advise one being and help one being to evolve into a divine nature, then you save the all, you save the whole universe. And the greats were like, oh my goodness, we can increase this and we're going to reach billions. And when we reach billions, we can reach 10 billions. So it was so different in a way that it even, you know, disturbed me. And I had to think about it so for such a long time. And then when it clicked, I felt like that's a beautiful lifestyle. That's a beautiful way to look at it, that the universe itself, because it is a singularity, is always in peace, at peace with itself, even though it's experiencing certain stuff. Nothing can harm us, even if we, you know, go back to the singularity. And I know, Jeff, you had a lot of people that had these near-death experiences. Even if you go back to the singularity, you're still interwoven in this unity. Nothing can be lost. It's a beautiful. It's just, think about it. If you, a lot of the problems that we, you know, experience, some of the emotions that we have, is because of saying goodbye to other people, right? So might it be your dog, might it be your parents or something, even friends or something, that can bring people into deep sorrow. But just realizing that in unity, nothing can ever be lost, and you can still be connected, and you will always be connected to this. It's just an amazing and beautiful outlook for our tomorrow, right?
When this shift completes, what happens to us next?
Beautiful question. So the planet is made to be a life environment. It means that it is, in the way that it's structured, it gives all the necessities to necessary items and things that people, that beings need in order to sustain their lives, right? Food, air, water. It is also structured in such a way that it makes you believe certain fundamental truths that you need in order to survive. For example, that this ground that I'm sitting on and you are sitting on, that it's a solid ground. It's not a solid ground, actually. If you dive into the physics of it, the atoms itself are not even connected to each other, right? So it's all kind of an illusionary field that we perceive. And but still, we believe that we do not fall into the ground, and so we don't. So the reality we perceive is strongly based upon consciousness, strongly based upon certain rules that we agree upon. And the planet can host certain life forms. And this planet used to host life forms ranging from what we call level one consciousness to level four consciousness, which means a stone, for example, is level one consciousness. It's still a life form. It's still alive. Even though it's inanimate, it's still a form of life. Level two life forms used to be animals. Animals used to be, especially when you look into the science 50 years ago, people would have thought that, you know, animals are robotic, like, you know, not even having a soul. That used to be mainstream knowledge 50 years ago, 70 years ago. And nowadays we see that all these wonders are happening with animals too, because not only humans are evolving, everything is evolving too. And animals are reported on all these TikTok and Instagram things. Again, I'm on Instagram for like a few months now, and I've seen so many videos about that, where dogs are pushing these buttons and then you can communicate with them. Or you see like apes and they're using TikTok and scrolling around. Or you see birds communicating with people. Yesterday I've seen a parrot who was having a whole full-blown conversation with someone. And we don't realize that. It's nothing that we say like, oh my God, this bird is talking to us, or the dog is actually talking to us. There's even a dog that goes through a conscious evolution process where he's reported to look into the mirror all the time and asking his holder, why am I a dog? Why dog? Why dog? That is the number one question that this dog has, right? So it's going from a level 2 consciousness through to a level 3 consciousness, which is an I awareness. I am something. This is the moment where souls take place, where souls gain a lot of information. You know, a stone doesn't have a soul, but a level three being has a soul. And then we have certain examples on this planet of very extraordinary people, seemingly very extraordinary people, gurus, yogis, avatars, prophets, all these beings that are reported. And we have so many thousands of people that report to have seen these beings, right? That perform miracles. And these beings are ranging at a level 4 consciousness, which is a very elevated form of consciousness, where you know that life is—it's a miracle. It's a conscious-based life experience where you communicate with things that seem inanimate and not alive, but they respond. The universe is responding to you. Telepathy is a thing. Telekinesis can be a thing. All these kind of things. So they just take the set of rules that we have all agreed upon, not falling down through the atoms that are loosely connected or even not even connected. And they take this set of rules and just alternate it because they have experienced some other truth, some other reality. And the thing is that the planet itself moving towards this higher zone of energies will actually become what we call a full harmony of 4. That means everyone on this planet will soon be, must be, otherwise he or she or it would leave the planet and carry on with their consciousness somewhere else. And we've seen that, unfortunately, on this planet happening way too often in the last 3 years, I guess, that we come to a point where every being must accept that we are living on a level 4 consciousness planet. And that can include contacts with very exotic life forms, that can include weird happenings, right? That can include noises that happen in your house, where you feel that certain reality realms are coming closer and closer. So some people report, for example, that they hear voices or hear footsteps or something where there's no one in their room, in their house. And the reality is that the universe is actually overlapping realities, you know? So there might be someone in your house. It might not even be your house, but you are sharing the same universal spot with some other life form.
Tim, I could keep talking to you for a long time, but I need to change gears with you. After watching this podcast, people may want to reach out to you and ask you questions. Are you open to that? And if so, how do they reach you?
I had a moment where I thought you didn't like what we do, because I am enjoying that very much.
No, this has been an amazing conversation.
Thank you so much. I'm really happy to be here and to talk about that. That's a special energy here, and I love that. So thank you for your job. And Yes, I'm very open to that. I'm my main motivation is to bring forward knowledge and also to prepare people, because the truth is that humans on this planet sociologically are very oriented towards, you know, certain social institutions to care for them. And the reality is that is not always, they not always have the best interest in mind, or let's not even say the best interest, but say they might be more focused on, you know, other ideas than, you know, helping you ascend in a positive way. So that is one of the reasons why I do that. And I came to Instagram this year for the first time. I wasn't planning on that, but I started a few months ago. It's tim.tactics on Instagram. That's my main account. And I'm raising and growing a community of people who just resonate with what I'm telling and feel like, yeah, there's truth to it. And it feels like it gives something to, it gives answers to the questions that I have, why am I here? And the beautiful thing about this is, and there's so many signs about it, but when we stick to our minds together, because we are aspects of the same universe, we can actually alter our reality profoundly. And some of these very advanced beings are so calm because they are calm and can be calm because they are their experience. They have measures and techniques in order to have a beautiful experience in this universe. And that is how the universe is actually meant to be. You are meant to have experiences, but you're not here to increase the trauma of the universe. The universe wants to know itself, wants to experience itself, but it doesn't always want trauma. Some beings want trauma, but the majority, and we count like 99.9, and then we have a lot of nines, these beings are looking for reducing the trauma. They are looking for certain other experiences. And so, yeah, my main mission is to give knowledge to people, to educate them, and to guide them through this ascension process. Because the thing is, when we collectively go into a level 4 consciousness as a planet, there might be certain challenges that come along with that, because people are not very much prepared for what's happening. And they might encounter certain things, like, for example, this famous this story that, you know, one girl in my community, actually in this beautiful community that we've grown, actually told me. She's from Indonesia, and she went into the forest and she encountered a huge ant. She actually went into the forest and she suddenly heard a voice inside of her mind, which is, for it, you know, alone, that alone is like a weird experience for people, you know, when they have like certain sentences in their brain, because that is something where, you know, indoctrination has told people that this is a, you know, a warning sign, something that shows that people might be off or something, which is commonly not true, because we are spiritual beings and we have this connection, this deep spiritual connection with the universe. So she basically went into this Indonesian forest, and the sentence she heard repeatedly was, attention, the ground people are here, the ground people are here. And she didn't think about much, and she approached, went further deep into the forest, and there was a 7 feet tall ant being that stood there in the Indonesian forest. And of course she never ever experienced something like that before. And she's, you know, subscribed to Gaia and looked into that, and you know, became aware that there are other beings. And just on a side note, humans are not the only evolved life form on this planet. This planet actually used to be an ant planet, which is the reason why we have a higher biological mass of ants on this planet than all the, you know, humans combined. And if you've ever asked why humans seem so alien to this planet, the reason for that is because, you know, humans did not originate from this planet. They came here sometime from somewhere else, forgot about this, and thought they are, you know, originally from here. But clearly they're not very well adjusted. Otherwise we would need a winter coat and the roof.
Are you scheduled to come back on Gaia and produce some more episodes?
I am. So we talked to, we had one beautiful series with Linda Moulton Howe. She's a Emmy Award winning journalist, which was really interesting because she was very skeptical in the beginning of our talks. And at the beginning, I was still, you know, a lot more nervous about coming forward and all that kind of stuff. So I was testing the waters. And we basically came to, in the very moment when I told her certain stuff, she was looking at me and was saying, "Sam, that is what this general and this corporal and this guy from the CIA and this guy from the army has actually told me. And he said to me, I'm never allowed to ever share this. How come you can't tell me this?" And that was the moment when we were actually like, we had such a good dinner together, and were able to actually release a lot of the information. And that was beautiful experience. So yeah, there's more on Gaia coming. I have again daily stuff on Instagram. I'm very motivated to bring out, you know, certain 1 minute clips. So tim.tactics, I'm sorry, if you want to follow me there. And again, it's a beautiful community. The goal is for me, because again, multiple minds can actually alter the field of reality, but the more people we are, the better trained they are, and the better, the more emotionally they are connected to each other, the effects will increase. So I am working on bringing people together in a very harmonious way, so that they learn more about using their psionic features, because the species itself is a ascending psionic species. So humans are capable of using telepathy, and I'm sure you had like hundreds of guests probably that had these experiences, like paranormal experiences, right? So humans are capable of that, and you can train how to do it actually, and help with stabilization of this timeline, and also helping your own timeline in order to bring peace and defensive mechanisms too. Because one thing is that, you know, some of these species out there, and again, it's not a lot. You will probably encounter a lot of people that say, "Oh my God, they could be in threat." The universe can offer threatening experiences, but it gets less and less with more experience that we have. The more we realize that we are unity and that we are creating our reality field, and when we learn how to do that, the less threat we actually encounter.
I know you have a YouTube channel, because I wanted to ask you some questions about your videos, and I'll have to save that till next time, but I forgot the name of it. What is it?
Thank you for asking. It's Tim Tactical in one word. So I'm on Instagram and TikTok. I am on Tim.tactics, Tim.tactics, and YouTube is Tim Tactical. I'm just getting started there. So give me some time. But we also have bi-weekly meditations on YouTube. Because again, the idea is that, because we are inside of this reality field of the planet, we can actually bring input and energy into the field. And there are only like a few thousand people needed maybe, you know, you could basically, with all the people that you have in your following, you could alter the reality profoundly, especially when these people were, you know, emotionally connected to each other and knew them as friends, like a couple would be, you know, very much connected to each other and would be more effective than two random people. But with the people that you have in your following, you can could profoundly alter the reality field.
Well, perhaps we can do a live stream one day together. You can lead the meditation, and if we can get I think you said 1,000 people, we can alter the reality, right?
That would be amazing. We can do that, and we can have incredible effects. And I want to say, like, everyone who wants that, please drop a comment so Jeff sees that. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing. But I can tell you one thing, because we do these bi-weekly meditations. You can basically, when you go to allshifthappilynow.com, allshifthappilynow.com, we have you can see where we do these. And the idea is, we came up with this, you know, this mantra, all shift happily now. So even if people are not, you know, very much into stabilizing the timelines, even if they only say this a few times before sleeping, it completely changes reality. And we had, you know, public meditations. We had three, in the very moment when we did these meditations, we had three times in a row a peak in solar activities. And the Schumann frequency of the planet was actually peaking in the very moment we did this. And we only did it with a few thousand people, right? So imagine that you can not only change your own reality field, but when you are guided towards that, you can have incredible effects on the reality field. So yes, I would absolutely be in for that. Mm-hmm. If people are interested, right, Jeff? Drop a comment.
Tim, before we finish up, can you leave us with one last positive message?
Beautiful. Yes, of course. So again, you are an aspect of the whole. We are all aspects of the whole, and each and every one of us is actually building and creating its own energetical reality field, and then we mix them with others. So the idea is to make your own reality field as stable, as harmonious, as calm and beautiful and healing as possible, and then invite people into this. And again, if you only have 3 minutes time daily, even less, just before bedtime, sit on a bench, sit on your bed, realize that you are connected with this reality field, and that everything you give into the field will come back to you. It's a feature of consciousness, projecting outside and perceiving inside. And then just say, all shift happily now, and mean it. Bring it into the reality field. It helps yourself. It helps Jeff, me, and everyone who are also inside of this, but it also helps the whole collective consciousness.
Tim, thank you for your message, and thank you for being my guest.
It was an honor. It was beautiful, and thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks for watching the Jeff Mara podcast. I really appreciate you. Another way to show support is through YouTube memberships. And if you do, there are loyalty badges and other perks depending on your level of membership. All you need to do is click the join button underneath the video to find out more. Thank you for your support.